Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, a wonderful lady. She's an educator. She is a traveler, world traveler. She's the daughter of a well-known and prominent artist. Her name is Anna Gasper, and she's been to over 150 countries, and she's done so much with her life. Speaking from the great state of Nevada, Anna Gasper, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, let's do a little bit of your history. I was fortunate enough to get to meet you in person, and we look forward to your documentary. I should mention that you are also the subject of a documentary that I think will soon be out, and people will be able to check you out from there. But in the meanwhile, where were you born and where were you raised?
Okay, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, but my heritage is Hungarian, and both my parents came from Hungary. And my father came in 1921, and my mother in 1932. And then I was born in 1935.
Well, fortunately, you were born. I
was born here.
Yeah,
that is fortunate because some of my relatives were killed during the war, and we didn't know that. You know what would be happening to my relatives, and what kind of poor circumstances they were under. So I didn't have a chance to see many of them. I saw some because I went to Europe. Lots of times to visit an aunt who lived in Switzerland. But go ahead and ask questions.
Yeah, well, wasn't say the interesting thing about that is you know, obviously it's on the ounce the middle of World War II, and that didn't bode well for so many folks. The communication level from folks over there to over here was so difficult, and unfortunately so many people perished. So many Jewish people also perished.
Well, we are Jewish.
Yeah, so I mean this is something that would have been nightmarish, and unfortunately was so nightmarish for so many people. It's wonderful that your parents got you here. How did they get you here? How did they get out of Hungary themselves?
Well, it's very romantic. My father had a girlfriend, and he went back to visit her in Hungary and met my mother and fell in love with my mother. And then they corresponded for 6 months, and he had to borrow money in order to pay her passage on a boat coming across. And he was staying in an interesting place called the Tree, T-R-E-E, studio building, where there are lots of artists. And anyway, he must have met her in New York. And it must have been very difficult for her to leave all of her family behind, not knowing that there would be a war.
Yeah, it's just an amazing time period. I don't think we could we can compare it to anything that we're dealing with now. Refugees on a mass scale, and
there are different circumstances and different kinds of refugees. And they're also having problems. But coming across, she was accompanying two young girls, 17 and 19, and it turned out that they were the daughters of a very famous silent movie producer called Carl Laemmle. These were his daughters. And so she accompanied them. It was interesting.
Yeah,
and I did meet one of them later on. But I don't know what happened to them since then.
Well, it's interesting, and it is romantic. It's a nice story, and
I think it's very romantic,
and has a happy ending.
Well, the happy ending is that I'm here.
Yeah,
and I'm still okay. My mother passed away a long time ago, but I'm lucky that I had a good education. I don't know if you want me to tell you about my education or not.
I would, but before you do, let me remind folks that are just tuning in or just turning on their radios, Frank McKay here with Anna Gasper, and she's a wonderful educator and traveler, world traveler, and over 150 countries to her resume. She is just absolutely as well-traveled as you possibly can be. Anna Gasper, is our very special guest. Go ahead. Let's talk about your education, and let's start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, first, I had 8 years in a local elementary school called Elcott School, and I had 1 year at a local high school called Waller. But my father, being a mural painter, he had a lot of acquaintances, and he knew the principal of a very famous private school called Francis Parker. And so they called my mother in the second year and said, we have a place for her. So for the last 3 years of high school, I was in Francis Parker. And because of the knowledge of the school, I had a chance to go to Northwestern University, where I went for 4 years and received a Bachelor of Science degree in education. You want me to go on?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. And after my mother died, actually, we went to Los Angeles, and I had received an assignment of teaching, and the first school was an interesting one. It was the Pacific Palisades Elementary School, and I taught there, and of course, unfortunately, my mother died while I was in that particular school, and so I went to Europe for 6 months, and that's when I met all my relatives. Mm. And it was an interesting trip. I went on the Ile de France final voyage. And I think they sold it to a movie company, and they had a movie taken aboard it afterwards. And one of the passengers was Harry Belafonte.
No kidding.
But he couldn't.
Yeah?
You don't know who you meet.
Yeah.
And he couldn't perform. He was under contract.
Wow.
And then when I stayed there, I had a chance. I have an uncle. They're all gone. I had an uncle, my mother's brother, who lived in Genoa, Italy. And so I stayed with him to get to know him and his wife, who came from Sardinia, Cagliari. And they had two girls. And I had a chance while I was there to go and take a little tour of Italy, because I was in Italy. And then we have relatives in Paris. My cousin's mother had divorced, and her ex-husband remarried a lady who was from England, and they lived in Paris. Hmm. And so I had a chance right away. When my cousin came to meet me at the boat, we went from the boat to Paris. And that way I had a chance to really see the city more so than the regular tourists, because I went at least 20 times back and forth from Switzerland to Paris to visit her.
Yeah.
That way was interesting.
It was.
And then after, go ahead.
No, it is.
After 6 months, I returned back to the United States. And I reapplied for the Los Angeles school system, and they assigned me to a school on the east side called Glassell Park Elementary School. And I was there until I could take a sabbatical, and the first sabbatical that I took was going down to South America, stopping in all the different countries, Ecuador and Guatemala. And I had an uncle who moved from Israel to São Paulo, Brazil. Hmm. So I had a chance to meet him and his wife and his children. And so I did that. That was good for 6 months. And when I came back, then I had a chance to have another school in Culver City. And that was an interesting 4 or 5 years. I had, I think, third or fourth grade there. And then I took another sabbatical, and when I did that one, I went in different directions. I went east, and I had a chance to visit in Asia and in Africa, and that was fascinating, too, just to see that. When I came back, I was reassigned to a very interesting school called Brentwood Elementary School.
In California?
And I taught there for... Pardon?
In Los Angeles, right? In Los Angeles?
That's Los Angeles. It was near Westwood.
Yeah.
But it was a Los Angeles school. And I taught there until I took another sabbatical. You could do that after 5 years. And that sabbatical, I did some more traveling, and I had a chance to see other parts. But unfortunately, I was visiting in Canada when I received a telephone call that they had been removing some of the teachers from the school in order to integrate them. And unfortunately, it was at that period that they took, I think, 10 teachers from who were white, not black.
Right.
And, yeah, because this was an integration at that particular time. And so I ended up not too far away. It was still close by, called Brockton Avenue Elementary School.
Were you teaching, not to interrupt, but I'll remind people, Anna Gasper is, again, our very special guest, Frank McKay here with Anna. Were you part of the integration schools?
Well, in the sense that I was removed from the school, yeah. And it was quite a blow because I wasn't at home. I was visiting people in Canada, and the secretary of the school notified me that I wouldn't have a place when I came back, but I was very lucky because there was another teacher who was assigned to Brockton, and he retired, so I could take his place. Hmm. But it was a very difficult move. I thought it was very unfair. And it was between, the vice president and the PTA that made the decision. But the vice president got her due. She couldn't account for some of the money that was spent at the school, and therefore, that was after I left, they fired her, or they replaced her and put her in another school.
Yeah.
So you see things happen.
I think different back then, you know, than they might not be able to get away with that type of thing nowadays.
Well, that's what happened. She couldn't get away with it. But I don't know anything. I have no contact anymore with any of those schools.
Well, hey, let me go back to your traveling, because it's not only fascinating but unique. I don't know many people. I mean, there are presidents that haven't been to 150 countries. I mean, you've been to 150 countries, and the majority of that started after 50. Am I right?
Right. Well, it started after I was already... when my mother died, of course, that's when I went to Europe. So that's where I was first France, and then Switzerland, and then Italy, those three countries.
Wow. Yeah.
And, of course, I had more relatives that I met, and I went to Hungary eventually. I had a cousin who lived there. And then I went from there to Israel. I had an uncle who lived in a, they call it a moshav, which is a communal farm. It was called Beratim Aleph. I was there twice. And unfortunately, he had lost his first wife and two children during the war.
Oh,
so he had remarried. And it's an interesting country because there's an awful lot to see.
Yeah, it's amazing. And not to get sidetracked, but I know you said your favorite part of the world is Asia. When was your first experience with Asia?
Well, the people are very, very nice. And they'll do things for you that probably you don't find in Europe. My one advantage in Europe was that I spoke some French. And that way I could get by in Paris.
Yeah.
But the Oriental people are very they're charming, they're open-minded, they open their homes for you.
Mm. Yeah, it's you know, I found that the same way. I only spent 10 days in Asia, as in China, a couple of different cities in China. But do you have a favorite spot in Asia specifically? You've seen a lot more of it than I have.
Well, I was very lucky. I managed to get 5 tours with a company called Lindblad Tours. And that was a top notch. There's still, I think, some sons that are running. It's a more expensive type of touring. And I liked it because it was small groups of people. It's not huge people. And that way I got to see, well, I was five times in Hong Kong, wow, but not with them. Sometimes just passing through and stopping. There's a lot to see in the Orient. China's fantastic. Of course, I like China from day one because I play the piano, and my first composition was about China. And I do have many compositions that I did when I started piano lessons when I was 5 years old, and by the time I was 10, I was composing music.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
And I even composed the graduation hymn for my high school, and at Northwestern University, I composed two background musics for children's theater.
Amazing.
Which was, yeah, well, it was interesting.
Yeah.
I could do it. And I really have, I have all the scores here. It's just a matter of finding somebody who's interested in looking at it and would appreciate I was amazed at what I could do.
Well, I'm amazed that at 10 years old, you already started composing, and I saw you.
Right.
You know, I didn't hear it, but I saw it, and
right,
it's just really terrific. I mean, to see that kind of initiative out of a young woman and a young girl.
Right, but I had classical music in my background, and my grandmother was a piano teacher. My aunt in Switzerland was a professor of music at the University of Lausanne, and she was she accompanied before that for 13 years in Paris. And she was one of the first, Jewish students in Budapest to get a degree. And it was interesting, you know, to see all the different people that came, and she accompanied them at home. She had a piano. And
you mentioned to me a tie to Béla Bartók. And
well, that was my piano teacher in Chicago was a student of Béla Bartók.
Yeah. So that's quite a lineage, and it also ties in with your Hungarian roots.
She was Hungarian.
Frank McKay here again reminding folks that are tuning in late. Our very special guest is Anna Gasper, and you're listening to a fascinating woman who's not only musical and talented in so many ways, but has traveled more than anyone that you could hope to meet, 150 countries in all. Again, Frank McKay here with a world traveler, educator, and the daughter of Mikolas Gasper. And
Miklos.
Yeah, with an M.
M-I-K-L-O-S.
Yeah, Mikolas. And
no, not N. M. Mikolas.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying
okay.
Yeah, you're misunderstanding my New York accent. It's
okay.
It's Mikolas, almost like Nicholas with an M.
It is Nicholas in English.
Yeah. So he was a fascinating and a very talented artist. He painted scenes during the First Great War, which the war
right,
to end all wars, which of course never happened. World
right,
War One.
Well, he was commissioned by the Hungarian government to paint and draw instead of fight.
Yeah, nice.
That was what he did.
And it's a contribution. His work there is just amazing. And one of his murals was seen, and it was displayed so prominently. And unfortunately, you know, and again, not to bring up a sore subject, unfortunately, it wasn't treated well as the theater that it was in was torn down.
It was
down
in the Medina Club, which was a hotel now. And it was 200 life-size figures of the Saracens and Crusaders fighting. And I don't know why they threw it out.
Yeah.
But I guess it just wasn't interesting when they sold the hotel. I don't know who owns it now. But once I went back to look at it, it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, that's sin.
It was.
Yeah.
There are photographs of it in the Smithsonian Archives of American Art, where I donated a large album that my mother put together of some of the projects that he did. and the photographs and the articles in newspapers and magazines. And anybody can go and see them, but this is the archives. It's not regular museum. And I did once go. What they'd have to do is you have to have an invitation, and then they go into their vault, and they find a big box with all the paintings that I donated and pictures and the photographs.
Yeah. Well, listen.
And I think his work was absolutely fine. I don't know how many people have that skill to do the detailed work that he did. I have a few here at home. And if you understand art, then you can appreciate some of the talent that he had. But, of course, he died many years ago, 1946. So people don't know about him. But you can go and see he was commissioned for the Century of Progress exhibit in 32-33 by the General Motors building. And with that, he made 40 murals that shows the parts that are put together for an automobile. Mm. And it's called the States. And a high school in Chicago called Lane Tech acquired all of them. So anybody who wants to go and see the murals, of course, Lane Tech has other art forms, can go. They need to make an invitation, and they can go and visit the exhibit. Another place that you can find is called the Union League Club, which was a boys' club at that time. And he did 24 murals, and they're in one room of the Union League Club, and it was for the boys' clubs. So he had regular children who he drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's fascinating. Unfortunately, we're up against it, and we're out of time for this segment. We want to speak to more of your father. Miklas Gaspar is absolutely a fascinating subject, and he's covered prominently in the documentary. Anna Gaspar is his only daughter, and he is, I'm sure, looking down and smiling every time he hears your voice.
I'm sure.
And he is absolutely, he should be proud. 150 countries to this woman's resume and many years of education. Please, tune in next time when we have Anna Gaspar. Anna, thank you very much for being here.
You're very welcome.
Anna Gaspar, everyone. And again, we will we'll be telling you more about the documentary as it unfolds, but it is wonderful. She did a wonderful job. I was there on site. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.